Hey there, I'm Kevin Daisy.
And I'm Eric Olson.
You're listening to the Managing Partners Podcast, where we interview top lawyers about how they're growing their firms. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. This is Kevin Daisy, your host. And today I have Sally McDonald coming out of Rhode Island. And she's here to share some cool stuff today about networking and personal skills, business development, and excited to learn a lot from her and how you can apply it in your firm. So Sally, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, Kevin, thank you so much for having me. I've just been listening to a lot of your podcasts and you get amazing guests and have amazing conversations. So I'm just flattered to be on the list.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm always looking for this. It's all about the guests and finding the best and brightest I can, but also just different experiences, different stories. And we all have a story. I think most people are like, I don't have much to share, but you'd be quite surprised. So I find
Do you remember if, am I your first Rhode Island attorney?
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, darn. I'll have to listen to the.
Maybe I don't have a ton, maybe. Providence. I had a gentleman on. They have a couple locations like Boston, Providence. But you might be my second.
I'll take it.
If you go to the website, anyone, you can search by state and see if there's any Rhode Islands on there. I'll have to check later.
Excellent. I will do that.
Maybe I'm wrong. So, well, Sally, so tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, you know, how you're the managing partner of your firm. And just give a little background on yourself and how you got into this business. And then we'll get into more about the firm too.
Sure, absolutely. So I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin. Go Badgers. And when I was in eighth grade, my classmates voted me most likely to be a lawyer in the yearbook. And at the time I was devastated because I thought, wait, you know, the other options were like rock star or actress. And, you know, they think I'm going to be a lawyer. This is horrible. clearly they think I'm a loser, but they saw something.
They
were right. Although I didn't accept that for many years after that, I ended up on the East Coast because I went to Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. And a girlfriend of mine from there moved down to the beautiful beach town of Newport, Rhode Island after graduation and said, I need a roommate. And without a job, I basically said, okay, sure. And I've been in Rhode Island ever since. So kind of random, but I love this state. I've had a wonderful time here. In my 20s, I was actually in the hospitality business. I worked in restaurants and managed restaurants, managed nightclubs, managed the offices for two restaurants. And while I was doing that, I saw an ad in the paper, which definitely dates me a little bit, like an actual newspaper, that said they're looking for a paralegal. And so I ended up going to work as a paralegal. And then I said, okay, the eighth grade classmates were right. This is what I want to do. I like it a lot. So I went to Roger Williams University School of Law, the only law school in Rhode Island, great school. And in law school, I clerked or interned for my current law firm. So I started from the very beginning with this firm, Cameron and Middleman. And then I went and worked for a judge for a year. I clerked for a judge and came back to Cameron and Middleman for several years before I was stolen away for more money. So I found out the hard way that money is not everything. And although I had some great adventures in the interim, ultimately ended up back at Cameron and Middleman. In the meantime, I worked primarily for two firms. One was really cool because it was for a celebrity attorney based out of Los Angeles. I ran his Rhode Island office and got to work with some cool celebrities. Yeah, which was awesome. But ultimately, my heart was really back with Cameron and Middleman and the relationships I'd made there, my partners. So been back now for 5 years, just before COVID, and I love it. And very honored to serve in the role. My specialty is business litigation, and it's a big umbrella term, but I also do employment litigation, estate and trust litigation, construction litigation, basically fighting in court over business-related issues. And my firm has a litigation department, but also a corporate department and an estate planning department. So we are sort of a business-based law firm.
Yep. Okay, cool. Yeah, appreciate the little information about the firm. And I got the web address actually right here. So it's cm-law.com. So cm-law.com if you're listening in the car. If not, it's on your screen at the bottom. So you can check out the firm. You can check her out as well and connect with her there if you need to. So today I got with Sally the other day and it's like, what do we want to talk about? And I do this. If you've been on the show, you've probably got a similar meeting with me and just kind of looking, hey, what can we bring to the table? What can our audience learn from you? And most of my guests, just like Sally, have lots of things that they could share. But Sally kind of hit on a couple of things like, hey, I think these are important. And we were talking about remote working and networking. Networking really came up. And she said, you know, she feels strong about networking and the importance of it within a firm, not just for the lawyers, but associates and other staff and them learning and growing themselves professionally. And so I was like, I love it. Let's dive into that. So I want to kind of talk about that. So, you know, Sally, you said you kind of had a couple of different ways that you look at this and maybe three different angles to come from. So let's just jump right into that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I really, that's one of my soapboxes I get on, the importance of marketing and networking. At the end of the day, it's a business. Law is a business, like many others. And, you know, for marketing the entire firm, it's very important to engage experts like yourself that can help us with the big picture of advertising our firm as a whole. But I also really think that lawyers within a firm need to take personal responsibility for their individual brand, getting out there and networking themselves. And I think particularly post COVID and well, really even before that, I think it really has to be a combination of both in-person and online networking from my perspective. So I have kind of the three main things that I focus on that have worked for me, and everybody's different, but the three things I really focus on from a networking perspective would be serving on nonprofit boards, being in organized networking groups, and then also engaging meaningfully on LinkedIn. So in terms of nonprofit boards, I really think you can meet amazing people by being on these boards. And mostly those are in person, although more and more there's Zoom meetings for these boards. But for example, last night I went to an event for the Providence Public Library. I've been on that board for many years. And I met some new people in Providence that I'd never met that were just amazing. And I thought, wow, I'm so glad that I'm involved in this, because not only is it a good thing to do just in general to help nonprofits, but also I think you can really get your name out there. So I think that's more like a soft marketing. I don't go in there, you know, giving out my business cards or anything like that, but, you know, people get to know you.
It's authentic. You just talk to people.
Yeah, exactly. The organized networking groups, though, are a little different in the sense that I like the fact that everyone kind of gets why you're there. You know, it's no secret. Okay, we're here because we're trying to get business. So you can engage a little bit more, a little differently. People will ask you, you know, who are good referral sources for you? What do you do? Yeah, how can I help you? And I'm a member of one called USA 500 that I was thinking, Kevin, I'd love to get you into as well. It's primarily lawyers and finance people, and then people who support lawyers and finance people like yourself, and you're specializing in digital marketing for lawyers. So it's an amazing group. Yeah. Oh my gosh. You would love it. The group is so amazing. Really wonderful people. And it really starts from building relationships as people and then trying to help each other, and then work just comes organically, really, from that. And I would say the bulk of my book of business is probably from that organized networking. So I run a chapter that's totally virtual, which I think is a little bit different than a lot of networking groups. But as you and I have discussed, it's, you know, that's the way the world's going. You have this great company with people all over the country and customers and clients all over the country. And so you can really expand your reach beyond just who you can drive to, right?
Yeah, 100%. So, and to your point, you know, nonprofit boards have always been very great for me. I've had a lot of, been on quite a few myself, still sit on some now. And I've met some of the best people through that. And not just clients, but, you know, people that refer you or go, hey, Kevin does that or whatever. You know, just getting out and talking to people, doing good things in the community is going to lead to good things, just the way it's going to work. So I think that's a great idea.
Absolutely. I remember from listening to some of your other podcasts that you prefer networking, not in formalized networking environments. So it sort of depends on one's taste. it can be, you know, you don't, I think our group focuses on a rule that there's no direct solicitation. So it doesn't become just like everyone's trying to sell you when you get together. It's more about getting to know people, but I understand your feelings on that.
Just in my local area, there's lots of different kinds of groups. There's some that are like intentional, like I'm going to go to Sally and I'm going to tell Sally what I do. I'm going to give her my card and I'm going to walk. It's like almost like speed dating type of stuff. Some people might like that or whatever. And there's some that are very no agenda, nonchalant. Everyone's just like chatting and hawking, and there's really none of that at all. And just things happen naturally. And so, and then you have like the nonprofit where you're there to help the nonprofit and talk about that. And say you had a gala or a dinner. There's, you know, you're naturally networking and talking to folks, but that's not why you're there. And so I think all those things can have a place. And especially if you're new at business or starting a new law firm, get out and try that stuff out. It's, you know, all of it's going to be helpful, especially getting used to just talking to people. And maybe it's not your comfort zone. And I'll kind of get into that maybe at the end, but we were talking about that, Sally, about just being able to talk to people in person and not behind the screen and having doing it often enough to where it is comfortable, you know?
Absolutely. I think just doing both is so important. You don't want to lose your skills of dealing with people in person. And for example, as we discussed with my networking group that I run a virtual chapter monthly, I also try to make a point when possible to meet these people in person, because that can really solidify a relationship. So then when you see each other again online, you have a deeper relationship. There's just something about seeing someone face to face. And I think that I would really, that's one thing I try to impress upon, you know, younger attorneys, is just that work just is not going to just fall in your lap. It's something that you have to get out there and try things. And you might find that you enjoy one thing versus another, and there's no necessarily right way to go get business. But, you know, maybe you just want, you enjoy being on a particular nonprofit board because of what it focuses on. And then that's where your business comes from. But you have to try different things. And as you said, not lose your people skills as we're behind computers all day.
Yeah. Or if you're a young attorney and, you know, other than going to college, you haven't developed those, or maybe it's not your strong suit. But as an associate, you know, you're just doing the work, and you're, you know, can you build in some time after hours, or will the partners let you take an hour a month or a week to go network, to build that up and start to prepare to be a partner at some point? But I think, you know, it's associates to not do that at all. And then they're expected as a partner to bring in business, and they're like, oh, okay, I got to start from scratch. So I think, you know, a firm, if you can build it into your culture and like, hey, we want you to build up relationships and succeed, that's something you should definitely think about versus build time.
No, I so support that. In fact, I probably irritate my associates telling them to join boards and get out to networking events. But it really is, I look at it as an investment in the future, and even just for myself. So as a litigator, it's not like when I go to an event, it's very often I meet someone who says, oh yeah, I just got sued today, or like, I want to sue someone today. Very often the connections I make, I find it might be 5 or 10 years before someone has a need for me, that they have a business lawsuit, or that they have to deal with a business fight. And so for me, it's just get out, enjoy people, let them get to know you, try to help them where you can, because those people always appreciate that, stay in touch, and then the work comes later. So you might be a first year associate and you might not be responsible for bringing in any work, but the work you put in now might pay off when 10 years from now.
Sure, absolutely. Another thing, all the referrals, you know, how it all works. I mean, is if you get a lot of referrals now, you think back where they all came from. It's from putting in the work, is from being out and talking to people. It's I know for me, it's for clients that didn't go with us. Like, and I've always been like, hey, they didn't go with us, but a lot of them come back a year or two later. Yeah, we went with someone else, but it didn't really work out. Okay, cool. Let's talk. And so I always know that's, they're still in my pipeline, kind of, right? They might come back. They might refer us to someone else. I've had that happen too. But it's just, you know, you're broadening your base. You're talking to lots of folks. You're being authentic. You're working on your personal brand. Like, you put that out there, whoever you are. And again, it will come back to you. So,
for sure.
Yeah. You know, you get behind the screen too long and you're just working. And you're just, if you're forgetting to put time and energy into this kind of stuff, it could hurt you later. So,
yeah, absolutely. I wanted to, when you mentioned personal brand, I wanted to bring up something one of your guests said, was a personal injury attorney from Atlanta, I think, named Jennifer.
Jennifer Gore.
Yeah. She was great.
I told Jennifer, I'm like, I refuse to say your whole last name because I always get messed up. So I just like, Jennifer Gore, we're going with that. So if you're listening.
It's not just me then. Good. Okay. Don't know her last name, but she said something that I thought was so cool. She said, you know, I work hard on my personal brand and not everybody likes it. And she said, but you know, if everybody likes your personal brand, it's probably too vanilla, that, you know, it's better to have a few people not enjoy your brand, but actually you're more memorable, right?
At least they know where you stand.
Yeah, absolutely. I find that kind of goes to my third way I really work on my personal brand is on LinkedIn. We discussed this earlier as well. I really don't actually put out that much content myself. It's really mostly reposting posts that my firm puts out, right? So, but what I do is I really engage with it. I really go on and read people's posts. I like their posts. I comment on their posts. And then I'll get comments from people saying, oh, you're all over LinkedIn. And I'm just saying, I'm just engaging with it. That's all I'm doing. And I notice you, not only do you put out tons of great content, but you also engage with it. I see you liking posts and commenting on posts. And I think that if you use LinkedIn that way, it's a lot more meaningful than, you know, there's, it's kind of human nature, right? There's certain people where I'll like their posts and they never like anything I post. And I think, well, I don't feel like liking their posts anymore. It's sort of silly. It's ridiculous. But I mean, that's how humans are. We like it when people engage with us and are interested in what we're doing as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, especially with LinkedIn. So obviously, you know, in-person stuff, you got to mix that in. And I enjoy that kind of stuff. Although I don't get to do it too often, I try to mix it in. And with LinkedIn, you know, you're behind a computer, but LinkedIn is kind of like the events where you at least know people are there to talk about business, right? So versus like Facebook or Instagram, like at least on LinkedIn, we know it's about business. So at least we know, right? And so I think that's what makes LinkedIn so cool. And to your point, yes, if you ever like or see a post where it says at the top, Sally McDonald liked this post or commented on this post. I'm not connected to the person that posted. She liked it. She engaged with it. But I see that. And I see her name pop up everywhere. To your point, that leads me to go, all right, well, what post did she like? And then I don't know them. I'm not connected to them. And I might say, oh, let me follow and connect with them. And so you got to be in the comments. You got to like it. You got to reshare it. People love when you reshare their stuff. I thank every single person when they reshare my stuff. I'm like, hey, thank you so much for reposting that. Like, they didn't have to do that, but they must have found some value in it, I guess. So,
absolutely.
But that right there will get you a lot farther than just posting a dumb post every day that people might not see.
Yeah, just the, you add so much value with this podcast. I mean, it's the ones I've been listening to, there's so many interesting topics around trying to manage a law firm, and you really have hit a lot of them. And you can just get great information and content on LinkedIn if you're looking for it. People share some great stuff.
Yes. Yeah. I love just opening up every morning and checking things out. And, but to your point, you know, I see the people that engage, and that's why I see the posts I see.
Mm-hmm. And that's how we met.
Exactly. So if you're on LinkedIn, instead of like trying to go, what can I post about today? And like, that's all you do. Just engage with the people you follow and that you want to engage with.
Exactly.
If you're a business attorney, then it's other business owners in your local area. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
Good strategy for sure.
Thank you.
I was going to say, I went to a networking event in person that I was invited to. So I have three different kind of brand companies. Array is the only thing I work in. I'm the face of, I guess. So, but my business partner and another partner of ours was like, hey, we're going to this networking event. And I'm like, oh, I've always wanted to go to that. I know a lot of people there, but I'm out of that networking kind of group space because I work with lawyers and it's just local. And I was like, come on, let's go. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I threw on a t-shirt and a hat. And I went down to this event at the oceanfront. So we have like an ocean beachfront here. And I was like, there's definitely no lawyers there. Hat, t-shirt, roll down. First person I walk up to, a lawyer who happens to be a prospective client. It's the partner I've never met. I'm talking to the other partner. And so we sat there and talked for a while and had a great conversation. And there I was being like t-shirt, hat, you know, whatever. He didn't care. I was just being myself. And they're probably about to become a client as we're speaking. But I got to engage with the other partner, which, you know, the other partner's having to talk to the other partner about us and talk us. Him into working with us. So it was just a weird, rare opportunity. Then I saw a lawyer client of ours. And then, so just, I wasn't expecting any of this stuff. And so it just happened, but just because I was going to go to this event. So and yeah, it was all about 1,000 of the people I knew. They were like, hey, you're doing law firm stuff. And they all knew. I just haven't seen them in person in forever.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, it's a bit of good luck with running into the exact person you wanted to talk to. But I do think that the ultimate rule is that people tend to want to give business to or refer business to people they like. And that's just what it comes down to. I mean, given a choice, I mean, it's the same thing, you know, you go to a dentist. I mean, it doesn't hurt if you like the guy and he talks to you about what you're interested in. You know, I mean, it's just, you want to give business to people you like. You might tolerate people, you know, otherwise. But so I think going to networking events with no expectations is really key. That you know, and maybe I've just gotten used to it because, like I said, people aren't just hanging out with lawsuits ready to hand them to me at these events. So I just kind of go with zero expectations, try to, I actually enjoy people. So I enjoy talking to people, get to know people. And then through that, you just never know what's going to happen. It turns out, like, they know someone who's thinking of hiring you, or they are a person who's thinking of hiring you, or they just sort of generally getting a reputation out there is important, particularly if you're in Rhode Island, such a teeny state. There's, if there's 6 degrees of separation in other states, it's like 1 degree of separation here. So it's very, very key to be the person people think of for a certain profession, because we kind of joke, it's like a got a guy state, like everybody's got a guy who does something. And if you're not anybody's guy, nobody's going to be sending work to you, right? You have to know people and be out there. And it takes,
you want to be the guy that's got all the guys, right?
Right.
Exactly. Oh, Kevin, he's got them all. Well, he knows everybody.
Yeah.
Or gals.
Right. Well, that's actually a great point too. Being the person who, even if someone calls you and when they don't need someone who does what you do, but they know Kevin knows everybody. He's like so connected. I know I can call him and he'll refer me to a lawyer or whoever. He probably knows
CPA,
CPA, anybody. You know, that was one thing I was thinking of, offering to any of your listeners, is that if anyone ever needs anything in Rhode Island or Massachusetts, I know a lot of people. And even if it's, you don't need a litigator, but you just are like, I need help with, I need a CPA, I need a family law attorney. I'm happy to help anybody who's looking for connections in Rhode Island or Massachusetts.
Hey there, this is Kevin Daisy, your host and founder of Array Digital. If you're tired of wasting money with agencies that just can't get it done, then please check out my law firm, digital marketing agency, at arraydigital.com. If you contact us there, you'll be sure to line up a meeting with me where we'll walk through your exact situation and come up with a plan for what you can do to improve your marketing results. I look forward to talking to you. Now back to the show. Yeah, so I think that's a good point here to make, is if you're an associate or a lawyer running your own firm, it doesn't matter what, huge firm, or if you're just starting a small firm, be that person that people go, I can call them. They have somebody. I bet they know somebody. And then whether or not they're not thinking about your business at that point in time, but they're definitely going to refer you or mention you many, many times if you can become that person. And so that's not something you do overnight. You know, it takes time. You got to build trust with people, but start earlier. You can do it, the better, and be that person, right? That people can trust and go to.
The quarterback is how I like to think of it, that being a sports fan myself, but for many of my clients, I like to be the quarterback where they call me. My best client just reached out to me this morning and said, like, hey, my kid, wants to open this kind of business. Who should I talk to? And, I happen to have someone in my firm, but even if it's not someone in my firm, he knows he can always call me as the person who can quarterback it and throw the ball to the person who's going to run with it and do the work that needs to be done for that person. So that's a valuable role to try to get into if you possibly can.
Yeah. And I think, the other thing, I had Chris early on recently, and we were talking about being authentic, and, with Jennifer Gore, we're talking about your personal brand and being real and authentic, not trying to make some crap up. And, if you want to be like a lawyer, you want to act tough and be like, we're tough and we're going to fight for you and all that stuff. It's like, is that really you? Or are you like a nice, likable person?
Oh,
If you're a nice, likable person, be that instead.
Yes.
Because I don't want to hire someone that's rough around the edges and tough. I might not want to call them,
Well, that's funny. I absolutely agree. So being from the Midwest, naturally, my disposition is pretty friendly. I like to joke around a lot. And I completely disagree with this idea that you have to be a jerk to be a good lawyer. In fact, I think that particularly in a small state like Rhode Island, I'm always polite to opposing counsel, to a fault probably, except for that if I'm in front of a judge, that's when I fight. If there's no third party there, why am I going to be a jerk to someone or, yell at someone on the phone? And frankly, when people do that to me, I'll just hang up on them because I don't put up with opposing counsel being rude to me, because there's no reason to be. Unless they're pulling some dirty trick, I think all attorneys should respect each other. And I think that if somebody wants an attorney who constantly plays the role of the bulldog, that's fine. Maybe that's not me, but I have a lot of clients who, really adore how I am. So you attract different clients with your own personal brand. I don't have to be for everybody, right? You don't have to be for everybody. Not everyone has to like us. It's just making sure we appeal to some good clients.
Well, exactly. And I think that's the whole point is, you know, being real. So yeah, if you are the bulldog and just naturally you are that way, then great. Lean into that. Use it. People will call on you and they're like, you know what? Who can get this done? It's this person. But if it's not you, just don't try to be like that. Because say your marketing's all like bulldogish and then they meet you in person. You're like the sweetest, nicest person in the world. It's like, okay, this isn't, it's not matching up. So just lean into what you are and be yourself. And
talk to people. So people have said to me more than once, many times, that I seem too nice to be a lawyer. And I joke and I say, well, yeah, you think that until I'm like taking your deposition or I'm arguing with you in court. I have a whole other side of me that I could pull out when I need to. And really, at the end of the day, for litigation's about getting results, right? And so results could be resolving the case before you have to spend a bunch of money litigating, or it could be, you know, convincing a judge of something. But at the end of the day, I find that being a civil person who's nice to people accomplishes way more than being a jerk. In fact, some of these bulldog attorneys, when they aggravate opposing counsel, they just drag out the case and make it more expensive to litigate, honestly. So I think it doesn't match with what people see on TV, but I'm completely convinced that the best way is to be polite to people. I have my mentor is my partner, Justin Shea. He's an amazing litigator and he's just the ultimate gentleman. I mean, 100% of the time. And he's so respected by judges. He's so respected by his clients. And I've seen him get mad when he has to in court and get mad when he has to in a deposition. But why lead with that? You don't have to.
Well, they probably know when he gets mad, that must be.
Yeah, absolutely. I tease him. I'm like, ooh, when he gets his Irish up, it's like, just back away. You know, because you have it coming if you made him mad, basically.
That's funny. Great tips here for folks, especially new attorneys, associate attorneys, or I mean, if you've been running a firm for 20 years and you've lost that networking piece of it, or you haven't continued to keep those referral relationships going or find new ones, really. You know, you might rely on a couple of referral sources for years and you haven't really been out to build new ones. So I think it's super important. You know, and I own a marketing company for law firms. Yeah, you should hire me and market, but you get referrals are the best. And, you know, you got to continue to work on that all the time. So,
well, that it goes together because, so I meet someone at a networking event and I say, oh, I'm Sally McDonald from Cameron & Middleman. And then because of professionals like yourself, they say, oh, I know the name Cameron & Middleman. Where have I seen that before? Oh, it popped up here. It popped up there. And so it goes together that the name recognition, keeping your name out there, has to be done both on behalf of the entire law firm and individually.
Sure. And then if you can take it a step further and you can speak at those events or, you know, do things to get a bigger audience and get your name out there and get a bigger platform, then just always stay in, you know, one-on-one meeting people and things like that. So you know, look at all the opportunities that are out there in your local market or nationally, depending on what your practice is, you know, but you gotta get out of the office every once in a while. So
I totally agree.
And not just at court. That doesn't count. Yeah.
Well, it's so funny these days. There's so many remote hearings that a lot of times I don't even get out of the office to go to court, which I think is going to be a great disservice to young lawyers, you know, that I used to go to court and sit around all morning watching other lawyers argue. And now, you know, if I have a hearing, I log in on Zoom, it's over in 15 minutes. I didn't hear anyone else argue. It might be okay at my level. Yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, and plus like, well, you used to go to court a lot and now you don't have to barely go at all. So it's, well, I don't have to go anywhere anymore. And so then you stop going to anything and maybe don't go to networking. Maybe you drop off the boards that you're on and then you're just, next thing you know, it's 10 years later and you're like, my referral sources are dried up. I don't have any marketing. I haven't put myself out there and maybe your situation changes.
Yeah, I think that was a big problem for a lot of people after COVID, even myself. I remember having this sort of vague anxiety when I started going back out in the world, like back to the office. And I'm like, why am I having anxiety going to the office? This is silly. But I think COVID did make us close up a little bit.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I think that's the message here. Yeah, get out. Networking is very important, still has more now. I think even more now with all this remote stuff and getting comfortable behind your screen. I think that'll help set you apart, especially if you're an associate I think I was telling you, Sally, in the beginning, like I was just on a recruiting podcast earlier today that will come out at some point. But we're talking about AI and, you know, remote work and replacement of people from different automations and AI and stuff. Being a good person that can communicate with people, especially in person, is going to set you way apart from others. And so that's something that can't be replaced. And so,
absolutely.
So, you know, say a law firm's like, you know what, we're going to only hire one associate instead of five like we were going to. Who wins, right? I only hire the best people, that the good people that fit my culture, not the brightest or the most skilled every single time.
Yeah. So, what's the line they say? It's hire for attitude and train them. And I completely agree with that. And yeah, artificial intelligence, I think it's incredible what it can do, but we were talking earlier about EQ versus IQ, and having an emotional quotient it's probably a long, long time until AI can master that, sort of knowing how to read people and interact with people. So if you have that EQ, which some of it's natural, but a lot of it's just practice, right? Interacting with different kinds of people, you learn how to deal with different kinds of people. And certainly learning how to market and network is not something that, as a brand new attorney, you understand how to do in this market. It's definitely something you have to learn. And personally, it's not like I took classes. I just did it from trial and error. Some people, things worked, some things didn't. You just keep trying.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think you get out there and learn it yourself, and you're not going to learn it in a class. No. Not enough to be good at it. That's for sure. So,
Right.
Well, no. So I love it. Appreciate you sharing today with, you know, kind of the different things you've seen and how things are changing and remote work and the challenges of it. But, you know, if, you know, you get out there and start talking to people and meeting people and networking, it'll do wonders for you. And you're going to get referrals from people, and they're going to like you. If they like you, they're going to refer you. Just like that. You mentioned the dentist. You might be in the dentist chair, and the dentist can be a complete asshole, but he's doing your teeth and you're like, whatever. But are you going to refer him any work? Probably not. Like,
right.
He did his job. I was there at the time, but I probably won't go back, and I'm definitely not referring him. So,
right.
So you got to think about those kinds of things.
I think you made an excellent point about it. It does come, you know, from the top also, that you have to, you know, as a managing partner, make it clear this kind of networking and marketing is encouraged strongly. And we really appreciate you doing that, because that's an investment in the future of the firm. I hope that all the associates I work with are my partners one day. And so I always try to encourage them to do so.
Yeah, the firm will benefit, especially if everyone in the whole firm is out just networking and meeting people and doing their own things for their own agendas. Maybe it's, like you said, a personal attachment to a nonprofit, but you're involved, and they, what do you do? Oh, I work at this law firm. I'm the admin, or I'm the receptionist. It doesn't matter. You're able to speak about the firm, and that'll help the firm. So if you have all your staff, you know, just engaged with people, it will benefit the firm at some degree. We have incentive plans for everyone on my team. They get a referral, or if they're talking to a client and they say, hey, you know, you really should think about having this other service that we do, they get bonuses for everything. And so they're not selling. I don't want them selling. I want them recommending or asking them around. Hey, oh, my brother owns a law firm. Cool. Refer them to our firm. Well, you'll get a bonus. So I just want to equip everyone to be just thinking and but also they're building a skill that they can take if they leave here.
Right. Yeah, it just, that is a skill, really learning to listen when people are talking for opportunities, and not just necessarily for yourself, but, you know, for even people like to refer work who, you know, refer work to them, right? So I, you know, oh, you need a family law attorney? Okay, I know a great person, and that comes back around eventually. But you have to listen for those cues of, oh, you know, I'm really fighting with my spouse, or whatever the cue is. I guess that's an obvious one.
I mean, that's how those people, the person's like, oh, he's got a guy for that. Like, that's, that's how those people become those people. They listen, and they're like, oh, I can hook you up with someone for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those are the people that everyone knows and everyone calls. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
so, easier said than done. Got to get there and work on it.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job with knowing a lot of great people and really providing a service to people who are involved in management at law firms. So thank you so much for doing this. It's really fantastic.
Well, you know, I think it's always say, like, I run companies and I pretend we're not even talking about a law firm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I learn right alongside everybody else and try to share what I can too. So it's beneficial to me to have this conversation regardless if it's recorded or distributed at all. So, and yeah, this has been awesome. But when I started this, I didn't really have a clue. Didn't definitely think we'd have 300 episodes or more. And it's led to a lot of great things. So
yeah,
case in point, this is just one other way to network, right? And we're just going one-on-one. So, but if you're going to network an event, you might meet dozens of people in the same amount of time it took us to record this episode. So,
well, and now I know you've said on other podcasts that people will recognize you, right? When you go to conferences or you're really becoming a person who's known, and that's the, it might be tiring at times. I know you do a lot of work related to this, but ultimately it pays off that then you're really establishing, or you've established a reputation.
Yeah. And that wasn't the plan in the beginning. The plan in the beginning was just to talk to attorneys and see what happened. And then fast forward and now it's like, okay, this is, you know, maybe has some legs to it. But the goal in the beginning was just talk to attorneys because we do work for attorneys. And I'm always, that's always a joke. Like, yeah, I talk to attorneys all day, every day. And everyone's like, oh God, it's terrible.
I'm sorry you have to put up with this. Yeah. That's rough.
But no, that's what I do. Clients. Yeah. Yes, you know, it's every day. So, but I appreciate you coming on to share about this topic, and hopefully everyone out there picked up some good stuff and will think about kind of what they're doing every day and week. Are they working networking into it, or have they lost that because of COVID and remote work? So
I think absolutely. That's well, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me, Kevin. And we'll definitely have to keep in touch.
Excellent. Well, everyone tuning in, you can check Sally out. She's CM-law.com. What's another way they can connect with you? LinkedIn, I assume.
Yep, absolutely. LinkedIn. If you want to email me, my email is smcdonald, like spelled like the fast food restaurant, @cm-law.com. And as I offered before, happy to speak with anyone who just needs anything up in New England. Happy to get to know you, happy to help you. And I love connecting with other managing partners as well. I actually started kind of a local group of it's kind of like some of us, it's all relative, but younger, relatively speaking, managing partners. And it's been really amazing just to share ideas. And also, you know, in particular, that's been interesting within our own market, right? Because, you know, well, what are you charging your or what are you paying your employees? It's a little different asking, what do you pay your employees in Virginia? So it's good to have those local conversations as well. So I think just the more people you can talk to and get unique ideas from, I think the better.
Yeah, so like a little mastermind kind of group you got going on there.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's great. Mastermind with cocktails.
Yeah, they have cocktails. Yeah. No, I love it. And I think it's a great idea right there to get with others, and especially in your area, your state, and what are you doing? What's working?
Right.
So that's what this podcast is all about too. But you're taking it down to the local level, which I can't do. So.
Well, you're going to have a bunch of new fans in Rhode Island, because I'm going to tell everyone.
I'm going to know everyone in Rhode Island before the next week.
I will not be your last Rhode Island attorney.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it so much. Everyone, if you have a comment or question, please put it. If you're on LinkedIn or YouTube or wherever you're watching this, Facebook, reach out to me if you want to connect with Sally. I can do that for you, or tag her and follow her so you can connect on LinkedIn as well. And Sally, stay with me. We'll chat backstage. Everyone else, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate everyone that watches these and hopefully gets some little nuggets that they can use for their business, and appreciate it. So we'll see you soon. Bye. Thank you for listening. We have been producing this podcast for years, have had hundreds of guests, and produced hundreds of episodes. We don't ask for much, but I do have one ask. If you find value in this podcast, please share it with one person just like you. The best way to do that is to send them to arraydigital.com, where we have a full library of all the episodes that they can sort by practice area and or state. So again, we appreciate you listening, and thanks for sharing.